All right, everyone, why don't we get started? My sincere apologies for the delay. We had some technical difficulties, but we have a very demo-heavy presentation for you today, so it's exciting. My name is Miran Vranjes. I'm a program manager in the Windows 10 user experience team, and I'm very excited to be here today representing my colleagues from Redmond and the new experiences that we've brought to life with Windows 10. I want to thank you all for coming to this session about how to design great hardware with the Windows 10 UI. We believe there's an exciting opportunity for us to partner together to build new and exciting customer experiences, whether those are for traditional form factors, such as laptops and all-in-ones, and new form factors, such as two-in-ones that can morph between tablet and laptop, or just traditional tablets that can dock. You've heard a lot about Windows 10 in Terry's keynote and previous keynotes, and we've made the builds accessible to you all, but I thought it would be best to start with an overview of some of the new and exciting features of Windows 10. As you know, Windows 10 was designed to be built from the ground up for all sorts of devices, ranging from HoloLens and Surface Hub, all the way down to IoT devices and phones. For this presentation, I'd like to focus on the opportunities for hardware innovation in the more traditional PC space, as well as the exciting opportunities we have for using Windows 10 on your two-in-one devices and tablets as part of Continuum. So instead of talking about some of the new UI features, I thought it would be best to just give you a brief demo of some of them. So here I am on a recent build of Windows 10, and of course, as you know, you can download this build yourself. Everything I'm showing here is available for you to use today. As you can see, one of the first things you'll notice about Windows 10 is that we've quieted down the taskbar to make it more in line with the rest of the visual language of the system. There's familiar buttons on the taskbar, such as Start, but also some new ones, which I'll get to in a moment. So if I click the Start button, you'll see I get a Start menu. Now, the Start menu was designed to take the best of the Windows 7 design, as well as the beauty and usefulness of live tiles that you can see here, and merge them together. And of course, you can customize the menu however you wish, and you can resize it as it suits your needs. Something more unfamiliar to you, maybe the new Cortana box, which you can see here. Unfortunately, I don't have an internet connection here, but Cortana will enable you to set reminders, ask for information, and things like that. And you'll notice Cortana never interrupts your workflow. So if you're using something like Excel and you want to ask a question, Cortana simply shows up above the rest of your work, and you can interact with her and then dismiss her as necessary. The third button you'll see here is the Task View button. A lot of us here are probably familiar with Alt-Tab, which is a quick way to switch between open windows. What we found, though, is that a lot of users are not familiar with Alt-Tab because it's a keyboard shortcut. And so we on the team thought about ways to democratize Alt-Tab, so to speak, to make it available to as many users as possible so that they can efficiently switch between windows and organize them. And so that is the Task View button. You'll notice the Task View button offers beautiful, touchable thumbnails that are easy to recognize of all your open windows. So for example, if I want to just close this Excel window, I can immediately close it right from Task View. I don't have to switch to the window. But if I want to switch to window, I can, of course, click on it. One of the really exciting things we have in Task View is the support for virtual desktops. So if I have a lot of things I'm working on, maybe I'm working on multiple projects at the same time, and I want to organize my desktop a little bit, what I can do is go here, create a new desktop, and you'll see it's a blank slate. And then if I go back to task view, I can go back to this desktop, and I can move some of the items to the other desktop. And so you'll see now I have two desktops, and my work and other activities are segregated. It's a very handy feature for people who are multitasking and working through those things. One other interesting feature that we have, which we've brought from Phone, is the Action Center. And you'll notice a new button here to the right. And the Action Center allows me to receive notifications. And as well, it allows me to access quick settings, such as wireless, airplane mode, and things like that, that are just really easy and simple to get to. Finally, the one thing a lot of you may be using to improve your productivity is a feature we introduced in Windows 7 called Snap. What Snap allowed you to do was take one window and simply move it to the right, and it would snap to half the screen size. This feature was really well received, but we wanted to take it a step further with Windows 10. With Windows 10, we realized that a lot of users, unlike a few years ago, have large monitors. And so one of the features we introduced was the ability to snap to a corner, which allows you to use your space much more efficiently than simply snapping to half. And what you'll notice on the left side is a feature we call Snap Assist. What Snap Assist does is it intelligently, in real time, tries to figure out smart layouts that will help you be productive. So in this case, it noticed I had two items on the right snapped already, and it suggested Word, which I was just using, to go to the left. And so all I have to do is click Word, and now the system automatically lays my work out for me. If I don't like that behavior, I can, of course, unsnap all my windows and get back to the work I was doing. One additional thing you may have noticed, which I didn't talk much about, is that all Windows Store apps now run on the desktop as full windowed apps. We received the feedback in Windows 8 that a lot of people like to, especially with mouse and keyboard, use their apps in an environment that they're comfortable with, which is windowed on the desktop. And so as a result, all apps that are in the Windows Store support this. And of course, if you need to, you can make them full screen. And just like in the update we released for Windows 8.1, you can bring up a title bar or the task bar and then un-full screen those windows as necessary. So that's a bit of the UI of Windows 10. Of course, I haven't shown all the features, but I hope that you'll download the builds for yourself and explore them later today. So the question is, now that you see some of these features, how can you best take advantage of these features in your hardware? Well, one of the things we've done is we've taken a feature that we introduced in Windows 8, and we've improved it, called Precision Touchpad. Now, I'm very happy to be able to say today that we've reduced the expense of implementing Precision Touchpad such that it is comparable to implementing any other touchpad sensor today. It's a very exciting thing, and by implementing Precision Touchpad, we hope you'll be able to unlock a number of new customer scenarios that you were not able to do before. The other thing we've done with Precision Touchpad is we've made the edge gestures, which we received feedback on, into easier to use multi-finger gestures. So we no longer have the edge gestures. They've been replaced by multi-finger gestures. So obviously, one finger and two finger are pretty standard throughout the industry. You can scroll and you can pan and zoom with them. But what we're really excited about is some of the three-finger and four-finger gestures we're introducing. So with three fingers, you can invoke Cortana You can also do some of the multitasking features I just showed you. With four fingers, you can invoke Action Center. And so let me do an over-the-shoulder demo of some of these precision touchpad features. So you'll notice this device has a precision touchpad. And what I can do is, of course, I can tap with three fingers and invoke Cortana and speak to her if I need her and dismiss her. I can also bring up Task View with a simple flick upwards of my fingers. If I flick downwards, I can dismiss Task View. So I can flick upwards and maybe switch desktops or close one of the programs like I showed earlier. What's also interesting is if I want to access the desktop, let's say to bring up a file, I can simply do a three-finger swipe gesture downwards, and I can open the document. And now I'm back to where I was in terms of working. One thing, though, that we really wanted to do was push the boundary of what we can build with precision touchpads. We know a lot of people use Alt-Tab to very quickly switch between two windows when they're working. We wanted to see if we could bring that same fast efficiency to precision touchpad. So here, I'm just going to flick with three fingers and then flick back. And I can switch between any two programs I was using. So one flick switches me to this Word document. Another flick switches me to the business trip checklist. Another thing I can do, though, is if I don't want the last document I was doing, I wanted a window that was further away, I can simply hold down on the touchpad, and then I can move my fingers around, and in one motion, I can let go and switch to the open program. And so with these capabilities, you can be much more efficient, and your customers can be much more efficient just by implementing precision touchpads. Okay, so let me switch back to the slides now. So you can see, just by implementing precision touchpad, your customers gain support for one and two finger gestures that are standard, and new three and four finger gestures, including access to Task View, access to Alt-Tab-like functionality, where you can, in one smooth action, switch between any open windows, a very efficient way of being more productive. And you can access the desktop to get to your recent files if they're occluded. So of course, not all devices running Windows have trackpads. There's devices that are tablets and devices that are two-in-ones that may need a touchscreen. And we wanted to make sure that our touchscreen experience was also best in class. One of the things that I'm proud to be able to say today is that we have listened to the feedback, and we have made advances to relax the requirements on our screen edges in order to support a broader range of hardware. We want to make sure that as many devices as possible support edge swipe gestures. And so we've switched to more of an algorithm-based approach in order to make that happen. And we've reduced the cost of having to support edge swipe gestures. Now, the benefit of the edge gestures is that the Windows 10 UI provides ways of accessing common features via the edges. And those features become more critical as you look at tablets and two-in-one devices that are in more of a tablet mode, which I will get into in a moment. So the first edge swipe gesture we've changed is the left edge now brings up Task View. And so you'll notice if I swipe from the left, I get a beautiful grid of thumbnails, and I can easily touch one of them to switch to one of the apps. It's a sort of a spiritual successor to the switch list, which we used in Windows 8. The right edge now brings up Action Center. In Windows 8.1, the right edge used to bring out the charms bar. Based on the feedback we received from developers and users, we think a lot of the actions that were traditionally in the charms bar should be moved onto the app canvas itself. Instead, when you bring up the right side now, you get access to quick notifications and also to important settings, settings such as brightness and things like that that used to be in the charms bar settings. The top swipe in Windows 8 was used for bringing up the app command bar. Now, the app command bar received similar feedback from our developers and users, and so our recommendation from an app patterns perspective was to move away from the app bar and into more contextual controls directly on the app itself. In Windows 10, a top swipe from brings up the title bar if the title bar is not present on the screen, maybe because the app is in full screen mode or because the app is being used in continuum, which I will get to in a moment. Similarly, in Windows 8 and Windows 10, the top swipe is used to close apps and snap them in certain circumstances. With the bottom edge swipe, we used to bring up app commands in Windows 8, again, because we've moved away from the app commands bar as a design pattern. In Windows 10, when the taskbar is not visible on screen, you can at any time recall it by simply swiping from the bottom to bring it up and switch between your apps. Now, a lot of these features work really well on traditional form factors, such as touch laptops, or all-in-ones, or desktops. And I've talked a lot about these features in the context of mouse and keyboard, including touchpad. However, with Windows 10, we want to make touch and touch-first experiences amazing on tablets and two-in-ones as well. And the way we have been able to do that is an adaptive UX called Continuum. Continuum is specifically designed for a number of devices. The first category of devices that Continuum was designed for is tablets. Imagine taking an 8-inch tablet that you're using as a traditional tablet using Continuum, docking it into a dock with an external monitor, mouse, and keyboard, and then the Windows 10 UI adapts into a full PC experience. With detachables and convertibles, in a similar way, simply swiveling the keyboard or detaching the keyboard transforms the device from a laptop form factor to a tablet form factor. And with Continuum, Windows 10 is able to adapt the UI between those experiences dynamically and seamlessly for the user. With Continuum, the team had three design goals. The first design goal was to enable both a great tablet and a great laptop experience. We wanted to make sure that Windows 10 was great if you were using a mouse and keyboard primarily, and it felt natural, regardless of the app you're using. But we also wanted to make sure that Windows 10 was great when being used as a touch-first device in a tablet configuration. The second design goal was that we wanted to make sure that customers were always in control of the transition between experiences. We never wanted our customers to feel like the device was forcing them to use it a certain way. We always wanted to make sure that Windows adapted to the way that the customer is working. And the third design goal was to create a smooth transition between touch-first and mouse-first experiences that preserved the customer's context. What does that mean? Well, imagine you were working on a Word document in a laptop configuration for your two-in-one, and you were editing a certain line. And you disconnect the keyboard because you want to walk to your colleague and show them the work. Well, with Continuum, Windows 10 can detect such changes and adapt the UI. But what we wanted to make sure was that not only were you working on Word when you were showing it to your colleague, the caret was still in the same place when you were editing your document. There's no break in continuity, and there's no break in the workflow for the user. So one of the ways we like to describe Continuum is comparing it to how Windows 8.1 used to work. In Windows 8.1, we had a great mouse and keyboard environment in the desktop, but the desktop only supported Win32 apps. Similarly, we built a touch-first immersive environment that only supported Windows Store apps. If you wanted to use some Windows Store app on the desktop, there was no way to do that, and vice versa. With Windows 10, we remove that big barrier and we bring the worlds together. So with Windows 10, what you can do is you can, with a mouse and keyboard device, you can use the desktop environment running both Windows Store apps and Win32 apps. But similarly, you can use a new touch-first experience with both Win32 apps and Windows Store apps. The operating system and the form factor adapts to the customer's workflow. The customer does not have to adapt to the operating system. So how do we do this? The main feature of Continuum is tablet mode. Tablet mode is a new UI mode designed specifically for touch-first usage and tablets. It features, as you would expect on any mobile device, a start screen as the home of the device. It's a beautiful touch-optimized experience. It also features immersive Windows Store apps. Windows Store apps, when they're running in tablet mode, don't have title bars because there's no need for a title bar when you're using the device as a tablet. And similarly, we are building an API for developers to be able to know when the device is touch first or mouse first in its usage and adapt their layout accordingly. The third, and something I'm very excited about, is that all of this works seamlessly with Win32 apps. Now, if you have an older Win32 app that was never designed for Continuum, it can still work in the sense that the system will at least simplify the windowing. So for example, in Continuum, all Win32 apps either are snapped or they're maximized with no work on the developer. Now, if the developer of the Win32 app wishes, they can listen to new Win32 APIs to adapt their layout for touch-first or mouse-first usage accordingly. The fourth piece of tablet mode is a lightweight tablet taskbar with a global back button. You may be familiar with the tablet taskbar from Windows Phone. It has back, Cortana, and the start button. In a similar light, we have the same kind of UI in tablet mode for Windows 10. The fifth is a lightweight window management model that we've taken from Windows 8. So with Windows 8, you could swipe from the top to close an app. You can do the same in tablet mode in Windows 10, including for Win32 apps. You never have to worry about what kind of app you're running. Similarly, you can easily snap apps to the left or the right and resize them simultaneously using our joint divider. And the sixth thing was we've done work for the touch keyboard to make sure that it auto-invokes in tablet mode for all modern apps, all Windows Store apps. And in addition, for a large majority of Win32 apps, we've developed ways of detecting that the touch keyboard should come up, and it does so automatically. So instead of talking more about tablet mode, I'd like to give you an over-the-shoulder demo of some of the highlights of the mode. Over the shoulder. Sorry, one moment.
Can we do that? Over the shoulder?
Oh, okay. All right, so the first device I'd like to start with is what's traditionally a tablet form factor. You can see this is an 8-inch tablet device, and it has a full start screen. And what you'll notice is we have a simplified tablet taskbar. Now, these are still builds that are work in progress. And of course, the live tiles with rearrange functionality and all the things you would expect. And so now, if I were to launch an app like sports, you'll notice there's no title bars present. It simply launches immersive. And if I launch another app, same kind of behavior. And so even Win32 apps like Paint will launch immersive, and I don't have to worry about any of the windowing there. And of course, what I can do is once I've launched a number of apps and I want to switch between them, I can use some of the features I showed you earlier, such as a left swipe to bring up a tablet-optimized task view, and I can easily switch between apps. A right swipe brings up my action center, so I can check notifications. Of course, I can choose to close an app, just like I could in Windows 8, and it'll close. And you'll notice I used a Win32 app there. And I can close a modern app the same way. Now, this device works great as a tablet device. But imagine that we built a dock for this device that had an external monitor, keyboard, and mouse. I can do one thing with this device that no one else can, which is I can exit tablet mode automatically, and I can have Windows on the desktop and a traditional taskbar. And Continuum basically allows the device to adapt to the form factor. So let me show you a different device. This is a Surface Pro 3 that I was just showing you earlier. And what I can do with the Surface Pro 3 is I can disconnect the keyboard, and it prompts me to say, do you want to enter tablet mode? I can also, of course, manually enter tablet mode just by hitting the tablet mode button. And now I get a full screen start, and I get the same behavior that you saw on the tablet device. Because I have a larger screen, I can also... Apologies. I can also snap the apps, and I'll get Snap Assist on the other side, and I can choose another app. And what you'll notice is similar to how Windows 8 used to work. You can simultaneously resize either of the apps, or you can evict one from the screen. And so it works very similar to how some of our Windows 8 experience works, but it adapts to the form factor. And so if I want to exit tablet mode and use my mouse and keyboard, I can do that, and all the apps become windowed like I would expect on the desktop. Thank you. So now that you've seen a bit of the work in progress that we have with tablet mode, the really exciting part for us is how to enable this experience to become more magical for our end customers with your help, our partners. The first and obvious way of entering and exiting tablet mode that will work on any touch device is to manually go to the action center and trigger it. However, the more interesting one, the more magical experience, is one where the hardware instructs the OS to morph depending on how it physically has morphed. And that's what we call hardware-suggested prompting. And the way hardware-suggested transitions work is imagine I've built a convertible or detachable, so a convertible with an angle sensor, a detachable with some sort of hinge mechanism. And, of course, I will have some sort of hardware sensor as a result that detects either the angle of my keyboard or detects that a keyboard is connected or disconnected. The way an OEM can instruct Continuum to prompt based on angles or the state of the device is the sensor can talk to a physical GPIO, or it can use an injection driver, either a user mode or kernel mode driver. For example, the Intel virtual button driver that's used today is an example of an injection driver. And either pathway eventually leads to our inbox GPIO driver. And that driver toggles convertible slate mode. Now, some of you may be familiar with convertible slate mode from Windows 8 and 8.1. It's the same kind of mechanism we've used, except it's extended to now support Continuum. And so once convertible slate mode is toggled, that signal goes to the central Continuum controller, which is a component of the OS that manages tablet mode. If the user or the OEM has enabled prompting, and they have to enable it through an unattend setting, then the Continuum controller, depending on the state of the device, will issue a prompt. Now, going back to one of our design principles, we always wanted to make sure that the user was in control. And so the system can just prompt the user to say, do you want to go into tablet mode right now, or do you want to exit tablet mode right now? If the user says yes, then the system goes ahead, enters or exits tablet mode, and it notifies UI, and it notifies all the apps through our new API mechanisms. of course, the user can decide, I really like this behavior. I want to do it always. Don't prompt me constantly with this prompt. I feel comfortable with the behavior, and it suits my workflow. And if they so choose, the Continuum controller can then bypass the prompt and automatically adapt the UI depending on the form factor currently. The other thing that the Continuum controller supports, and there's a talk later today about docking, is if you implement a device that can dock, the Continuum controller can use the signal in a very similar way to enter or exit tablet mode depending on the device form factor and its docking state. So imagine, again, an 8-inch device with a dock. You dock it to an external monitor, mouse, and keyboard, and now the device exits tablet mode, and it's on the desktop, ready to be used like a full PC. So in terms of actually building the hardware suggested transitions, it's very important that the OEMs and the device manufacturers configure their device drivers and settings correctly for the form factor. If you have a device that is not a convertible or detachable, you need to make sure that it has the correct static values through the unattend setup settings. So for example, if you have a laptop, we want to make sure that the system understands it's a laptop. And so our recommendation is to set convertible slate mode to clamshell and, of course, boot to the desktop. If you have a pure tablet device, convertible slate mode should be set to slate and boot directly into tablet mode. Now, if you have a convertible or detachable device, it's a little bit trickier. The first thing is you have to make sure your injection driver is properly implemented. And once you feel that the testing has been rigorous enough, you can then, through an unattend setup setting, enable the Continuum controller to listen to convertible slate mode changes and prompt accordingly. Now, if you have a tablet-like 2-in-1 device, such as a small detachable, we recommend you boot directly into tablet mode using the unattend setting. If you have a laptop-like 2-in-1 device, we recommend for the best customer experience that you boot directly to the desktop. In terms of testing the hardware suggested transitions, the most important point to take away is that you should always manually verify that convertible slate mode or the docking state always accurately reflects the current state of the system. So your tests should make sure that if convertible slate mode currently says that it's a clamshell, that it truly is a clamshell. In practice, we've seen a few kinds of issues that can arise from implementation differences in the injection driver. So for example, one thing that can occur very often is unnecessary toggling between convertible clamshell mode and slate mode. And this can be either due to an oversensitive sensor, so for example, on the angle sensor that has a lot of noise in it, or some electrical mechanical design issues. And what that leads to is the Continuum controller then has to suppress a lot of the prompts because they're spurious, they're unnecessary prompts. The other thing that can happen, and we've seen this happen due to entry and exit out of different power states, is that the device can end up in a permanent state inversion. So for example, when it's actually a laptop, the device reports itself as clamshell in convertible slate mode and vice versa. And this leads to a confusing Continuum experience because the device is saying to enter tablet mode or exit tablet mode at the exact opposite times. So with that, I'd like to, again, thank you for your time and tell you just how excited we are to have this opportunity to improve the overall customer experience across a number of form factors with Windows 10. We believe that if you build your systems with precision touchpads, and if you follow our edge swipe gesture guidance, then you can implement a really great experience for your laptops, your desktops, and your all-in-ones. And taking it a step further, if you implement Continuum in the right way, we can create a very magical and useful customer experience for tablets and new and innovative 2-in-1s that you are making. And so with that, I'd like to open the floor to any questions. Of course, there are many WinHack talks that dive into more detail around some of this either docking or input platform topics. And so I invite you to, if you have the time today or tomorrow, to attend some of these talks, the input platform session talk, which goes into precision touchpads and touch swipe gestures and pen, is, I believe, tomorrow. And the docking one is later today. So with that, I'd like to open the floor to any questions you might have around Continuum or the Windows 10 UI or anything of that sort. All right. Well, thank. Oh, yes. Yes. So what we've done is in Windows 8.1, there's already an API available for a Win32 app to be able to say at this point you should invoke the keyboard. So we listened to that API. In addition, what we've been able to do with Windows 10 is implement a new heuristic that allows us to detect, not with 100% reliability, because the API is really for that, but with 70% reliability, that this is a text edit field. So this works with legacy apps as well. So we've been able to kind of move the needle on some of the touch keyboard invocation for Win32 apps. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you again for your time. And I'd like to remind you that we have a reception later today that I hope you'll all attend. I believe it's on the top floor of this building. And of course, I'd like to remind you to turn in your headsets once you're done with the sessions. Thank you so much for your time.